Hey guys, welcome back to the channel. I'm Mirka, one of Sean's mentors, and I have a special person here with me today. I don't like introducing people. He can do it on its own. So Mike, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you want to, before we continue on your anxiety story.
For sure. So my name's Mike. I'm from Sydney, Australia. I'm the lad down under. I'm 29 years old, and I have been in the mentorship for four and a half months now. So I'm three quarters of the way through my 6 month time in the mentorship.
What a short time. That's why this is a progress story. It's not a full recovery story, but I think when people see your progress, they're going to be amazed. Anyway, how did the anxiety begin for you?
I have little memories of my childhood of maybe indicators that anxiety was coming for me. Like I had moments when I think I had panic attacks as a kid. Sort of hard to remember because I didn't, like, once they happened, they just went and that was it. But I had those sorts of anxious experiences when I was little. But when my real cycle with anxiety started for the first time was in 2016. And I believe it was mainly from drugs, from smoking weed. Like I used to smoke weed all the time and used to party a bunch, and it was all good for a while until it wasn't. And eventually it caught up with me. And so I started having panic attacks if I smoked weed, and that's quite a common theme in the group. There are lots of people that have that sort of start to their story. But the first panic attacks were always when I was smoking weed, and then I decided I need to stop smoking weed, which I've completely stopped smoking. But then they started happening when I was sober. So once that started happening, I was like, God, that doesn't seem very fair because I stopped doing the thing. But of course, the way I see it now, it was always there. Something was going to bring it to the surface. And I think it was the marijuana that triggered it for me. But I had a few cycles over the years since 2016. The first one was obviously the worst because it was just the most shocking. I didn't know what was happening. And then sort of, it's hard to pick the time of when it happened, but I'd kind of got out of that cycle. And I can remember periods of time having the anxiety, but it being unimportant on the back burner, and then something would trip me up and throw me right back in. And over the 8 years since 2016, I've had a few of those cycles. And this most recent one, which kind of restarted the end of last year, I decided, right, I've got to do something different because I'm clearly not doing this right, because I keep getting out and getting back in. And so I made a decision that I would really figure it out this time. And that is what indirectly led me to be here with the mentorship. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that answer. So weed won the lottery with you, right? That was the final straw that broke the camel's back.
Not that much. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, because people are always interested a lot about this, what would you say were your worst symptoms or the most hated one?
Yeah, definitely. So DPDR-related ones, the feeling of not having control over, like, myself, my head, visual stuff. It was all related to the idea of going crazy, I think. That was like because these feelings when I had taken drugs or smoked weed or something, and I would feel this dissociative sort of loss of control, was always terrifying, and it really, really scared me. And then I started having these feelings when I was sober, these anxious anxiety attacks or whatever they were, those sorts of things. And they would mirror those feelings that I had had when I had been having a bad trip or something like that. And that's always been the real crux of it for me, the losing control. I didn't struggle with the acute stuff too much. You know, the actual panic attacks, I had them, and I've had panic attacks, and they're awful. They always suck. But, you know, they're not the things that really trip me up. The things that kept me stuck were the thoughts of, I'm never going to get in control of this. I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to go crazy one day. And I'm just holding on for dear life, preventing myself going crazy. That was, I think, the struggle. The symptoms are pretty broad. Like, I feel like at any given time, I've had them all. I definitely have the chest tightness, the tingles, the feeling like you're kind of floating, tightness in your head. I've never really had the digestive issues, but, you know, I'd be willing to try them as well. You know, anxiety can throw whatever it wants at you. So I think the key is keeping an open mind to anything, really. But the real ones that I've struggled with are the ones related to DPDR, sort of not feeling real and feeling like I'm going crazy.
Before you fell into our hands, what did you try? What did you try for the anxiety?
It's a fun story. I had a friend back home who sent me the Dare book, Barry McDonough's Dare book, and I read that thing cover to cover, and it was just like, wow, like I couldn't believe that there were people saying you could cure yourself from anxiety. You hesitate to let yourself fall into it because you don't want to believe that it could be real if it's not going to be real. And it's funny what a difference 12 months can make, because I know it is real. I have seen too much evidence now that it's real. And like we've spoken about, I'm well and truly still on my recovery journey, but it is just a matter of time until I figure this thing out for good. And I know that now. And the Dare book was enough to kind of open my eyes to this model of acceptance. But I tried to do it on my own for probably 4 or 5 months. And I actually watched one of the Bye Bye Panic recovery stories. I found Sean through an interview with one of the mentors from the Dare sort of model, the Dare program.
Right, and then I started Michelle
from Dan. She's amazing. And I watched heaps of her content as well. And then I started seeing these recovery stories, and they were like these tangible, like, wow, these are real people. And some of those people in those recovery stories had found Dare first. And here's my anxious brain saying, that's me. Like, I can see myself in this person. And so I started watching them more and more. And I think if I'd have just been more willing to give myself time, you could figure it out on your own. There is enough content from the Bye Bye Panic program that is free online. There is enough content from Dare. But I just kind of being a bit impatient, I was like, you know what? I think I could fast track this. I want to be surrounded by like-minded people. The mentorship sounded like it was a winner. And it took one interview pre me joining, and I was like, I'm all in. This seems amazing. And it has completely changed my life since. So, it's the best decision I've ever made for myself, joining the mentorship, without question.
Honestly, we are happy to have you because you are always so supportive and you're always there on the calls. And like, for someone who's been in the mentorship just for 4 months, 4.5 months, you are giving advice to people that, you know, are there about the same time, sometimes a little bit longer when, you know, they have a setback or something. You're just there to support and have the right mindset always. And that's just an amazing thing to see. Anyway, so we're kind of already starting going on that topic. So compare how you did before you found us and how are you doing now?
Yeah, so look, I think that the control that I have is the biggest thing for me, because like I said, the things that scared me the most were that I'd actually go crazy. I have, since joining this mentorship, I have challenged my anxiety too many times that I now know that I'm not going to go crazy. Like the feelings can still be there. And I think that the key for me is point A, where I started was, I don't like how I feel. I want to do anything I can to change how I feel. And point B to me seems to be full recovery, which is, I don't care how I feel. And I'm on that journey now, because the work is not centered around how you feel and whether or not your symptoms show up. It's what you do when they show up. Because for you to ever get to a point of, I don't care how these symptoms feel, you need to keep the door open and need to just welcome them in all day, every day, whenever they want to show up. Not that they'll be there the whole time, but you just have to have that open-minded attitude. And so for me, where I am now, 4 months into this program, this element of control is coming back for me, where I feel like the symptoms can show up and it doesn't have to be a deal breaker for me. Like before, you used to run for the hills. These things would happen to you that your body is just trying to do its best to help you, like to keep you safe. And then you have this disjointed relationship with the very normal, healthy things that your body's doing. And where I'm at now, my body's still doing a bunch of wacky stuff. Like I still have some crazy symptoms and all of it, but I've never been so welcoming of them. Like my door is open. Sometimes they come hard from left field, and that's just another opportunity to work on acceptance and dropping resistance. And it's amazing how many times you think this time will be different, and then you still get up the next morning and you're still ready to go again. And it's, you know, my idea of what the finish line, well, I guess I don't think that there is a clear finish line, but my idea of where I will get to, what that looks like, is, you know, you just, you don't care. They come through, they pass, and you just let them do their thing. And you're like, that was weird. Anyway, move on.
And I can honestly tell you, this is what preceded me not having symptoms anymore. It was, you know, about like, you know, them coming sometimes after a long period of time. Sometimes it was like a week or two of constant, like, what the fuck is this? But I was able to do exactly that. Whatever, move on.
it feels so far away when you start. But when people start and join this mentorship, let's be honest, most of them are probably looking for a quick fix still. You know, and I think one of the best things I've learned is giving up on that quick fix. It doesn't exist. There is no one or no thing out there that will give you what you are looking for. And so there is a certain strength and courage that one will take from just deciding, I'm willing to do this. I will take on whatever this journey looks like, no matter what it throws at me. I will show up every day until I figure it out. And everyone in this mentorship has that same sort of mentality and picks each other up when they're down. And so, yeah, it is quite easy to pick yourself up and dust yourself off when you're surrounded by all these other like-minded people, for sure. That's another amazing part of the mentorship.
We are so proud of our community, to be honest, because just exactly for that support you give to each other, because it's like, yeah, we can be there and we can give you guys advice, but it's very good that you guys have someone who is there in the trenches with you. Because it's like, we can give you advice, but it's in the back of your mind. It's always like, yeah. You talk some more. You feel good. So what are you saying, right? It's like, you feel good. So
true.
Yeah. But people that are right there with you, it's sometimes much better when they support you than when we do. It's better for us to give advice, but for the other members to give support, that's, you know, you can't replace it with anything else.
Totally. Letting the monkeys fly the plane.
Letting them fly the plane. Okay.
Anyway.
And I would like to ask you, what you would tell to someone who is in your shoes or in the shoes of the person you were, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 months before now?
Yeah, definitely. Well, for me, I even thought about this before the call. I think the shift from judging how you feel, judging your progress, should I say, on how you feel, towards judging your progress on how you respond. And look, I think if you spend any time watching the free content that's out there, that's kind of the underlying message in so much of what's available. But for me, I'm only speaking to my own experience, but I know it just wasn't what I wanted to hear. Because historically, if I had a big day of anxiety, that was already a loss, you know, and it's such an unfair and silly way to judge your progress. I'm talking years ago, I'm not talking now. It's such a silly way to judge your progress, because you just can't choose when the symptoms smash you in the face, you know, and if you're only judging how you're doing based on how you feel, then anytime anxiety shows up, you're going to be defeated. You're going to default back to your brain's old negative habits of resisting and feeling sorry for yourself and frustration. If you could instead shift that focus towards, okay, whether or not anxiety shows up today, that's irrelevant. What I'm making a pact, like the minute you wake up, make a pact to yourself, whatever I am faced with today, whatever I'm challenged with today, I'm making a deal with myself that I will do my best to respond. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can still fall back into your old patterns of feeling sorry for yourself, resisting. The journey is not a perfect one. If it were perfect, I think we'd all get clear a lot faster. But the reality is, that's just not how it goes. So judging your progress on how you're responding, I think is the biggest encouragement I could give towards someone that hasn't found this model of acceptance yet. And it's also a way that you can get to the end of your day and have had a really high day of symptoms, and instead of being deflated and depressed and in the dumps about it, you can think, gee, I did a really good job of responding to that. You know, my brain and my body threw me some wacky thoughts and feelings, and I'm still here, and I still did my best, and I'm ready to do it again tomorrow. And you can, that's the same thing happened to person A and person B. The same high symptoms happened, but person A feels crappy about it and ends up feeling really deflated and probably takes a step back in their recovery. Person B says, give me some more of that, I'm ready for tomorrow, and I'll keep it going every day. And you can see how that attitude makes a huge difference. So I would encourage anyone new to shift their attitude. That's the first thing. Try to embrace the challenge and the journey itself rather than just trying to get to recovery.
To be honest, you are one of the perfect examples. And I told you so many times, like, if your mindset and your attitude could be bottled, you know, and then, you know, passed around like in like drops and stuff like that, that would make our work way easier. It would just help so much, because having this mindset and having this attitude you're having, that's priceless. That's priceless.
And I think it's quite funny for people to listen to with the heavy Australian accent as well. So, you know, I'll make some sound bites and put them up in the mentorship program.
I,
through.
Love the accent. You know that I love it. I always say that. It's just, for me, one of the best ones to hear. Anyway, what do you think? Is there the one most important thing anxiety and recovery taught you?
Okay. I imagine one day when I get to where it is that I know I am going, that I will be so in touch with my body and the things that, like, I will understand where my body sends me a notification, this needs attention, I will know what to do. You know, I will never again have this disjointed, disordered relationship with the normal things that my body does in everyday life. And I think that it's also teaching me the value, as in this, what we're doing, it's teaching me the value of unproductive thinking. And the mentors in the group are really firm on this, because anxiety right now for all of us is the biggest thing. It's all we can think about because it's such a dominant part of our lives. But once we get in control of the acute anxiety stuff, the cycle anxiety, life's not free of stress. Unproductive thinking habits are a problem for anyone that gets stuck in them. And I even said this to Murga. So I'm actually getting married this coming weekend, right? And I've been furiously checking the weather forecast. And so much so that it's been like destroying my happiness every time I see a patch of rain or anything that I didn't want. And so last week I said to her, I'm making a pact, I'm not checking the weather forecast anymore. That's a funny example, but I think it's a good example of my brain's anxious patterns of thinking getting in the way of me just doing my normal life, you know?
I agree. But now tell me, since you stopped checking the weather, how you feel?
Yeah, from way better, honestly. And that's, I probably should have drilled that point home the hardest. It's unproductive. What can my thinking about my, let's go back to the example of anxiety, right? What can my thinking about my stress levels and my symptoms do for me? It can do zero for me, nothing. All I can do, you cannot think your way out of this problem. If you could think your way out of this, all of us would have no issue with anxiety. The reality is what we have been doing has not worked. So be willing to try, you know, tying back to your original question, what it's going to teach me. It's going to teach me just the best way to respond to everything that the world throws at me, everything that my body throws at me, my partner, life, you know, my job, all these things that are crazy hectic and busy at times. I think I'm just going to be, I truly believe I'll be the best version of myself. That it'll be like the refined, you know, 2.0 updated Michael. So,
and that's correct belief, because I mean, you know, not just Chan and like basically all the mentors, but also many people that already did those stories said exactly that. It's just, it makes your life so much better when you not only learn the tools and use them to recover, but when you also carry them over into your daily life after recovery, because that's what makes the biggest difference. The key is not just do something to recover. The key is, I like to say one thing, this is not a diet. This is a lifestyle change.
That's so true. And I think it's the lifestyle change. It's like, well, what we're doing here is we're learning a new way of being. And if you are not accountable with yourself, these things that we're changing, right? Your brain has its default mechanism. It wants to go back to figuring out mode. It wants to think about it. And the work that we are doing is noticing that those thoughts pop into your head and saying, oh, yeah, that's you again. You don't require my attention. But the difference is then you've got to make it habitual. Then you have to make this your new default setting. And that's the bit that takes time. So down the track, anxiety will definitely throw you some challenges. You will have a day where you've gone from weeks of nothing and you'll have a crazy day of symptoms. What do you do then? You know, the old you will go back into freak out mode. The old you will go back into figuring it out mode. But what we're learning here is exactly what to do then. Keep the door open. Let it happen. If you become genuinely of this mindset of I don't care, those days will just stop happening, because it's just like that unwanted guest in your home kicking up a fuss. If you're acknowledging it, it will keep kicking up a fuss. If you just let it do its thing, it'll leave when he wants, you know?
Exactly. It's going to get bored, right?
Exactly.
I have like one last question that I like to ask people. And if there is any, what do you think was your biggest mistake or like blocker on your recovery journey? Was there something that was hindering you or slowing you down?
When you have made signs of progress, when your life starts to go back to some semblance of like normality in terms of, and this is only when you're judging your progress on how you feel, I'd have stretches where I feel really good again, where I'm not riddled with anxiety all day. And then something happens, and out of left field, I just get smacked in the face by a huge wave of feeling disconnected or an anxiety attack or something. And I would, every single time, I would just go back into why me? I'd want to sit and hope and cry, and I just want to just feel sorry for myself. And all you're doing is giving the anxiety power. I have given this thing so much power for my whole life, and only now am I just starting to realize that it only has power that I give it. I can choose to let it be there and be so in your face, like I'm responding all day. Like there are days where the symptoms are heavy, and that's just how it is those days. And I'm responding all day long. But what I'm not doing is letting it win. I'm no longer running for the hills. When the going gets tough now, I don't run. I sit, I practice, I let it be there. And each day I'm still waking up again. If this thing was going to kill me, it's doing a pretty darn terrible job, because I'd be gone by now. So
exactly.
And there's a massive motivation that comes from that, because time in, time out, like day after day, I'm seeing that I can actually do this, you know? And once you build that confidence up, you kind of realize you need those high symptom days. If you don't have a chance to solidify what it is that you're learning, how can you honestly say that you're recovering? And it's the days where my symptoms are the highest, where I'm challenged the most, that I really believe that I'm seeing the clearest steps in my progress, in my recovery arc so far. And it's also being surrounded by people in the mentorship. It's such a healthy environment, because you have people that have joined after you joined, but you have plenty of people that joined before you joined. And anyone watching this, there'll be all of us still there, you know? And so you get this sort of tangible experience info from these people upstream from you. And everyone says the same thing. Everyone says they get 80% the way to wherever it is they deem to be like recovery. And then they get challenged with this. And I think Tom mentioned it in his video, and it's something Kaylee always talks about, the final bosses. You know, you have the generalized day-to-day stuff. It's very up and down, but then no matter what, everyone on their journey will be challenged by these big left field challenges. And it's keeping an open mind to those and knowing that they come as well, knowing that they are a part of the journey. It allows you to expect it. What a beautiful thing that is. You don't have to sit there and be as shocked as maybe the first people had to be when that happened. You can instead be like, I knew this was coming and I'm ready for this, you know, and let's see what I do, you know, let's see how I go, rather than just going into collapse, like get under the covers at home, cry mode. You know, that's not us here. So it's a super positive environment, and there's so many people that you can draw on, lean on, you know, like in terms of advice and all of that. And of course the mentors. I mean, what better team could you ask for leading from the front besides people that have actually gone through this? Like I saw therapists heaps through my early 20s, and I just say none of them even went through what I went through. You could tell the way they speak. You know, but the way the mentors talk, you could tell they have every bit been there experiencing exactly what you're experiencing. So even that gives you a sense of being heard. You know, you know, these people know exactly what you're talking about, what you're going through. And that's very comforting.
Oh, we are so glad of being helpful. Anyway, I'm going to let the monkey fly the plane, how we say. Is there anything else you would like to say or share? I know that you always have plenty on your mind. So if there's anything else before we finish, like, you know, stage is free.
Yeah, look, I guess the key thing I wanted to share when I got into this call was kind of what I have said, which is the judgment of your progress. I know we already talked about it, but for me, I think it's the heaviest thing to drill home, because what I have realized, especially these last couple months, is how much you can still do with really high symptoms. Like I had my stag do weekend. I've had all these crazy things that I've done the last little while, and I have had symptoms present as much as they want to be. And, you know, through it all, I'm still waking up with a smile, ready to go again. And I think that the biggest thing that has contributed to that is learning to just be okay with the symptoms when they show up. I am very critical on myself of how I judge performance in terms of my response. If I go back to 5Fing, I'm instantly like, that's something I can be grumpy with myself about. I say, no, I know I'm contributing to how I'm feeling. We stop that now. I'm stopping feeling sorry for myself. I'm not going to keep trying to figure this thing out. This is anxiety. Look, as long as you've got everything cleared from your doctor, I'd bet my 99%, I'd bet my dollar that it's anxiety, whatever it is that you're feeling. How about challenge yourself to let yourself feel whatever it is that you're afraid of, but instead of worrying about when it comes knocking on the door, worry about how you respond. How welcoming were you of it coming in and doing its thing, kicking up a fuss, making you feel these physical symptoms? And watch as your relationship with these feelings changes. You know, watch as you get that confidence back in your ability to handle them. And even if you have a day where it doesn't go the way that you wanted it to, at least you're changing something. Because the reason we're all stuck is because that's not what we've been doing. What we've been doing is fighting the feeling, resisting the feeling. So instead of that, challenge yourself to try to let the feelings in. Pull them up a chair at the table. Give them a cup of tea, you know. Make them your guest. And judge your performance on how you respond, how willing you are to feel these feelings. But I think that's the most important foundation, the first building block to what will eventually be a really beautiful house.
Amazing. So Mike, thank you so much for coming on the channel and sharing your experience. And if you would like to in the future, you know, a few months down the line, whenever you make even more progress, we can absolutely repeat this. Yeah.
Happy days. Yeah. I watched my video from when I joined the mentorship, and watching this video is like, I can't even believe how many people's recovery stories I watched before joining the mentorship. And now to think that I've gone through this process and I now have one. I would love to do one at the end of the line too. But it's like, I could not be a better example of how much this works to anyone that's watching this. Like truly, I was on the fence about it for a couple months until eventually I pulled the trigger. I wish I pulled the trigger sooner. It's the best decision I ever made. So I look forward to seeing some of you guys in the program with us.
Love that. This was really an amazing, amazing interview. Thank you so much. I hope you guys, you know, are going to enjoy it too. And yeah, if you need our help, I'm sure Sean has like, you know, some links and something somewhere. I don't know. I'm just here to do the interview, but I'm sure you can find me somewhere below. Anyway, have a nice day. Keep responding, keep dealing with anxiety the right way, and see you next time.